Well, this morning I brought with me a box of temptation. It might look like a donut box, but I know better. This is filled with temptation. All you got to do is you crack the lid a little, and that temptation starts to flow out. First by the smell, and then by the beautiful sight of the donuts. You know, I can resist. Watch, I can resist it. Well, you know, I did tear off part of one this morning, and so I probably should finish it today, right? One won't hurt. I might have another one after the service, but, you know, if I have this up here during the service, it could be a very sharp message because I'll be eating, but I probably should give it to somebody. Who should I give this to guard? Oh, yeah, we got lots of people, but you know what? I think I'm going to give it to my wife because my wife is gluten-free, and while these are a taste of heaven, they are poison to her. Although Jordan is sitting next to her. Can you guard these?
I guard them.
Okay. Trust her. I see him passing down the aisle. I'm going to bite. Just one. Of course, not only that, but our ladies bring in donuts, or donuts. My mind's on donuts. I'm done. The ladies bring in cookies every morning, and that's another temptation. See, for some of us, food is a major temptation. And for us food people, this past month of December was filled with temptations. It was the Christmas season, and we ate too much. I had lots of cookies and chocolate pretty much every day of the week. But there were other temptations that we faced and that we face on a daily basis. Some drink too much. Others spend too much. Combine Christmas spending of gifts and going out with the personal property taxes, which are due, and then possible homeowners association dues, which many of us have. And January becomes a very bleak month. We're broke. It's probably good that it is cold because we don't have any money to spend. But other holiday events brought to temptations as well. We were with family and friends, and sometimes when we get together with those family and friends, it can lead to gossip, or it can lead to being jealous of family members that maybe got more than we do, or engaging in unnecessary arguments. And given in to every one of these temptations has consequences. It could be weight gain, could be credit card debt, and of course, in some cases, it leads to broken relationships. And so what we try to do, particularly in January, is we try to limit the consequences. And one of those limitations, or attempted a limitation, is so predictable that it's funny. January is the busiest month at the gym. I was at the gym yesterday. It was packed. But I also know this, by Valentine's Day, that gym is going to be much less crowded. The guilt from giving into those food temptations will fade away as most of our other New Year's resolutions do. But temptation is everywhere. What's tempting for our teens up there in the choir loft is different for some of us older adults. Your temptations are probably different than the person sitting next to you. But there are some consistencies if you think about temptation, and one of those is that temptation can strike us when we're tired. It can hit us in moments when maybe we're feeling weak. But temptation can also hit us when we're on the top of the world and everything's going great. Frequently, these enticements catch us because we feel too self-reliant. We think we've got everything under control. We can handle it. But then in the next instant, we do something that shows deep down, we're just a mess. And what I'm trying to say here is that temptation can strike at any moment. And what makes it so aggravating is every one of us sitting here this morning, and everybody online, we all know better. We know better. And when we give in to temptation, we know that's also a sin. And sin destroyed our relationship with God. And David said it well in Psalm 51. He said, against you, God, only you have I sinned. Because that's all sin is against God. Jesus had to go to the cross because of our falling to temptation. And so the obvious question is this, is why do I, or you could say it as well, why do I fall to temptation? And if you're like me, when I start to control one temptation, another one just pops up. And I want to scream, it's like, why do I do these things? Why can't I beat this? Well, it's hard, but you know, outside of two or three perfect people that we have in our lunch bunch every Wednesday, you should come because we have some perfect people in our lunch bunch. They'll tell you they're perfect. Every one of the rest of us, and I'm looking at some of them, every one of the rest of us deals with temptation on a daily basis. Temptation entered the world in the beginning, and it won't leave until Jesus returns. But the good news for us is that Jesus is experienced with temptation. He knows how difficult it is to resist. Now, when we think of Jesus in temptation, it seems a little bit hard to believe because we think, you know, Jesus is God, right? And temptation for him shouldn't have been a big deal. But it was. The Apostle Paul said that Jesus was born in the likeness of man. And what Paul was saying there is on one hand, Jesus is God, but on the other hand, he is man, and Jesus knows what it means to be human. The writer of Hebrews wrote this. He said, Jesus was like us in every respect, and that includes facing temptations. Hebrews went on to say, it says, for because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted as well. See, Jesus suffered. He suffered because the temptation was real. But he resisted. He never gave in. And that's why Jesus can save us, but it's also why he can also help us when we're enticed to do something that we know we shouldn't do. And so we should learn from him. Jesus provides an example of a life that's worth imitating. Now, just a few minutes ago, Amber read from Luke chapter 4, and in that first verse there, it said, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Jesus was in that wilderness for 40 days. He didn't eat. He was hungry. He was weak. And that time in the wilderness reminds us of another experience. In the Old Testament, the Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness. And for them, it was a time of testing. It was a time of challenges after they escaped slavery in Egypt. And throughout that 40 days, for Jesus, the devil tempted him. And at the end of the 40 days, when Jesus was his most vulnerable, that's when Satan came at him again. He tested Jesus by speaking half-truths. And that's the way the devil works. You know, the devil will provide some truth. He gives us enough truth so that he can get our attention. But in the end, he lies because he's a deceiver. And with Jesus, the stakes were at an all-time high. If Satan could get Jesus to give in to temptation, Satan would win, God would lose, we would lose. And so Satan gave Jesus his three best shots. And Jesus swatted every single one of them away. In resisting temptation, Jesus quoted the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Jesus spoke the words of God that were given to the Israelites as they wandered around in that wilderness. You see, the Israelites were God's chosen people. They were to show the world the glory of God. They were to look different from everybody else. They were to set an example of how people were supposed to live. And they failed. They failed miserably. And not falling to sin, Jesus actually shows us that he is the true Israelite. Jesus is what Israel was supposed to be. And through his interaction with the devil, Jesus makes it very clear why you and I fall to temptation. But not only does he do that, he shows us how to face our temptations. In verse 3, the devil said to Jesus, If you were the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Satan didn't mess around. He went right to the heart. He knew Jesus was hungry, so he went right to a physical need. He baited Jesus by saying, if you're the Son of God, prove it. I know you're hungry, Jesus, so make yourself something to eat. You know, and you and I can look at this temptation and we can go, yeah, we can dismiss it because we can't turn a stone into bread. You know, I'm a pastor, and some people wrongly think that makes me more holy, but that's not true. But if I were really super holy, I could turn this rock into bread. And you know that's never going to happen. But doing so was easy for Jesus. From any stone, Jesus could have made white bread or wheat bread or raisin bread or even gluten-free bread, although unless you need to eat it, I don't know why you'd want to. But Jesus could do it. We can't. And so we might wonder how this enticement applies to us. And the fact of the matter is it does. See, Jesus was showing us the first reason that we fall to temptation, and that's because we become too self-reliant. We're faced with a situation or a problem, and deep down we go, I got this, I can handle this. And so we don't take it to God. We're saying to God, I don't need you. I've got this under control. Theologian Kent Hughes put it this way. He said, we scheme and we plan for our well-being, assuming that God doesn't care, or maybe he doesn't know our needs. Well, Jesus carefully showed us how to resist the lure of self-reliance. In responding to Satan, Jesus said this. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Sounds a little strange. You almost expect Satan to respond with, well, if you don't want to make bread, why don't you turn this stone into a steak anyway? But there's more to it. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8, which refers to what was happening actually in Exodus 16. In Exodus, the Israelites were out in that wilderness and they were hungry, just like Jesus was hungry, and they complained that God wasn't taking care of them, and so God sent manna. Manna was this flaky, semi-sweet, thin wafer. Well, the Israelites, after a while, they got tired of eating the manna, and so they started complaining again. See, they're a lot like us. And so then God sent quail. In fact, God sent so many quail that they got sick of the quail. And that's another lesson that maybe we ought to cover some other day. But the point here is that God provided. When Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, it was just part of the verse. That verse ends with something like this. It says, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus was saying that you and I should rely on God, and when we do that, he will provide. You know, I was talking to another guy a couple days ago, and we share something in common. We like to fix things. Give us a problem, whether it's from our spouse or our kids, and give us 30 seconds and we'll have the answer. We'll know how to handle it. Well, if you're like that, you know that that can happen at home. It can happen at church. And we try to fix something because we give in to the lure of thinking that I can handle this. I can take care of it all myself. But guess what happens? Our self-reliant handling of situations often makes that situation worse. When faced with a challenge, take it to God. If we rely on him, God will provide us wisdom. Now, God's not necessarily going to just make that problem go away, but seeking his guidance will make the issue more manageable. If we ask, God's going to provide what we need. And so Jesus then, if you think about this, he clearly won round one against the devil's temptations by focusing on God's provision and not his own. But Satan wasn't finished. Luke continued writing, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it'll all be yours. Satan was basically saying, hey, Jesus, just bow down to me, worship me, and I'm going to give you the world. Well, again, there's some truth in the devil's statement. because Jesus called Satan the ruler of the world three times in the book of John, in John 12, 14, and 16. See, the devil does have some freedom to spread evil into our world. And yet, you know, Satan's claim was not fully true. Again, he twisted the truth around to fit what he wanted. Satan was claiming authority that's only God's authority. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's." Romans 13 says, "There's no authority except from God." What the devil was trying to do here is he was trying to tempt Jesus into becoming a shortcut savior. He was enticing Jesus to skip the cross and go directly for the glory. Forget that crown of thorns and just take the devil's crown. It was the path of least resistance. The cost of this easy way to glory would have been our salvation. We would never have been made right with God. If Jesus had worshipped Satan, our world would be completely ruled by sin with no hope of redemption. And it brings us to the second lesson. We fall to temptation when you and I take the easy way out. Several years ago, I volunteered to be on the phone lines for Joy FM's Prayer and Care Live. And that day, from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m., roughly 15 pastors and counselors talked to people who called in with their prayer requests. In 4 hours, we prayed with over 500 people. And of the many types of prayer requests that I received that morning, two types stuck out. The first requests were related to drug and alcohol addictions. And then the second very common prayer request involved unfaithful spouses. And if you think about it, both of those requests were the result of someone trying to take the easy way out. Life gets tough. Maybe we feel insecure, or we lack confidence, and we want to escape our problems, and so we turn to the bottle or we turn to drugs. You know, I got to admit, when I was in my 20s, I drank to gain confidence. It was a false confidence. Or maybe a marriage isn't going smoothly. The wife isn't what her husband wants her to be. She's got a mind of her own. Can you imagine that? And she does as she pleases. She shows no respect. Of course, many wives could say the same thing about their husbands. But instead of working harder together to save his marriage, the husband will go out and find somebody else to love. A woman who will have sex with him without any strings attached. It's easy. You know, one of my good friends did that, and it cost him his marriage. Drinking, doing drugs, or cheating on a spouse can seem easier than facing our problems. It leads to broken relationships and broken lives. The pain is devastating. And those are some big ones, but we're frequently tempted to take the easy way out in all kinds of other ways. It happens even when it comes to following Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus leads to the greatest life that you and I could ever hope to live. But I imagine you could all tell us it's not always the easiest life. When we walk in faith, we face opposition. We will be challenged. We will suffer. Paul wrote to his protege Timothy, he said, "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted." And that sounds hard. That doesn't sound like fun. That doesn't sound like an abundant life. And many people don't like hard. And guess what they do? They take the easy way out. They give God lip service and live life their way. You know, this morning it could have been an easy way out to say, you know what, it's cold outside, this bed sure is warm, I'm staying. But guess what? You guys came. Jesus showed us how to resist this temptation, and he did it again by quoting Scripture. He said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." When we serve God, it means we're not going to take the easy way out. Jesus went to the cross. He didn't take a shortcut. He endured the pain because he loves us. You know, at this point, put yourself in the devil's place. He's already been beaten pretty badly twice. And so you might expect him to give up. I mean, that would have been the smart thing to do, wouldn't it have? But the devil's not that smart. As Forrest Gump used to say, stupid is as stupid does. And so Satan came at Jesus one more time. Beginning in verse 9, we read this. It says, and he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now the devil was being smart again. In one hand, he was quoting Psalm 91. He was saying, Jesus, you have proved that you trust God's word. Well, doesn't God's word say that he's going to protect you? So if you've got faith in your Father, just jump. Just jump. God will be faithful. His angels will save you. And imagine what a show this will be. Imagine how this will show God's glory, that his angels rescued you as you fell. Well, the devil once again twisted the truth. See, Psalm 91 was a promise of protection. It was not an encouragement to test God's promises. And this is a real classic temptation where we fall. And so it's our third lesson, and that is that we test God's faithfulness. And we do it all the time. This is how it can happen. You know, you go to church. We hear how Jesus loves us. We believe the truth that God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. When we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus, we know we're forgiven. That's the truth. That's a great truth. But knowing that truth can cause us to not take our own sins seriously. Forgiveness seems so easy, and so we don't get worked up about sin. And the fact of the matter is, as I was preparing this week, I realized we've talked about this a lot in the recent weeks. But we need to. We need to keep talking about it. Did I lie? No problem. Jesus forgives. Did I lash out in anger at my wife or my kids? That sin's already been washed away. Did I beat somebody up with my words? Did I forget to love my neighbor, much less my enemies? Am I selfish? Maybe I'm prideful. Did I lust after the gal at the store or maybe the girl that I saw on the internet? Did I remain silent when I should have spoken the truth? Did I spend all my money on myself? Was I harsh? Was I lacking patience with my spouse, my kids, my grandkids? Am I lazy? Do I often forget to love God? And the answer is, why worry? It's all good. God's grace covers it all. And see, we test God's faithfulness when we don't consider the seriousness of our sin. Jesus said to the devil, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Paul wrote of our testing in Romans 6, and we just read it last week, but it's worth repeating. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Put it this way. It said, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we can go on sinning? And then Paul answers his own question and says, of course not. Of course not. Because of Jesus, you and I are no longer slaves to sin. It doesn't rule our lives. Instead, we're slaves to God and we seek to live in righteousness. And we do still sin. And sometimes we commit that same sin that we did last week that we said we were never going to do again. And it's frustrating. But we're forgiven. And that's why Jesus came. And so we do our best not to test God. You see, Jesus spoke God's word, the Bible, to the devil. And the more we read our Bible, the more we come to church, we're better equipped to resist temptation. And that's so true. But it actually goes deeper than that. If we want to win the battle with temptation, if we want to live a more godly life, if we want to be an example for our friends and families of what it means to be a Christian, we got to lean on Jesus. We need to call out to God when we need help. We need to ask Jesus to help us even when we don't need help. See, God will help us resist temptation. Don't let it beat you. Let Jesus help you win that battle and experience the joy of his victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, for his perfect life, for his sacrifice on the cross, for his making a way for us to be made right with you. And Father, we confess that we still sin. Sometimes we do it intentionally. We know something's wrong, but boy, we sure want to do it. Other times we sin and we don't even realize it. So often, we give in to temptation. And so we just ask you to be with us, to help us day by day, help us grow stronger, help us to be more like your Son and swat away the temptations that come to us. And help us to rely on you, on your Son, to guide us, to give us strength, and for forgiveness when we fail. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, please stand for your